When you're shopping in the wrong place, the thing you're looking for can be harder to pick out than the world's biggest wedgie. That's why you should be shopping at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support amazing race coverage all season long when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here with our first ever Amazing Race exit interviews. Amazing Race All-Stars kicked off on Sunday night, and it was a very, very entertaining hour. A lot happened. Of course, we saw the switcheroo with Bopper coming out of the game, and ultimately Natalie and Nadia ending up being the first team to be eliminated from Amazing Race All-Stars. And we're going to speak with all of those people who were out of contention for the Amazing Race here in one big exit interview. That's right. First, we're going to talk with Bopper and hear a little bit more about what went on and how he's doing right now. And then we're going to speak with the twinnies, Natalie and Nadia, later on in this double exit interview edition of Amazing Race. And of course, on Sunday night, Jessica Lise and I, our Amazing Race correspondent, we talked about everything that happened in the episode. That recap podcast is up on robhasawebsite.com. And then also, we are going to have our Amazing Race live show. And that is the show where we talk to a previous Amazing Race guest and take your questions live. That's going to be on Tuesday night this week. It'll typically be on Monday nights, but we're doing it on Tuesday so we can have the finale of the crowning of Mr. and Miss Survivor this Monday night at 10 p.m. on robhasawebsite.com. So on Tuesday, we will speak with a great Amazing Race guest from way back when. Team Guido, Joe and Bill from Amazing Race 1 and Amazing Race 11 are going to join us to talk about all things Amazing Race. So I hope you're locked in for Amazing Race coverage all season long. You can get the link to subscribe to Rob Has a Podcast at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, or you can get the link to subscribe to our Amazing Race only podcast on iTunes at robhasawebsite.com/TAR podcast, or you can click on the Amazing Race category on robhasawebsite.com for the RSS link as well. So let's go ahead and let's get right into it. I see that we have Bopper on the line, so let's go ahead and bring him in. Bopper, are you there?
Good morning, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Well, I'm kicking like a mule, brother.
Yeah? You're okay now?
I'm doing great.
Yeah. Oh, well, Bopper, I was very excited to see you and Mark come back on Amazing Race All-Stars. That you guys were perhaps maybe my favorite Amazing Race team that we've had since I've been watching the show. And I was really excited to see you guys come back, but this was such a bummer to see you come out of the race.
I know, man. It is what it is. You know, sometimes the good Lord's got a plan for you, and you just gotta roll with the punches, and that's the way it goes sometimes.
So, could you take us through what exactly happened? Were you feeling ill at all, or anything like that? That they did an additional checkup, or this was just the standard workup that they do on the Amazing Race contestants?
No, actually, we'd been up to Los Angeles a few months prior to that for physicals and, you know, just go through the screening process and stuff. But the day before it got for us to go to Los Angeles, I woke up that morning, you know, and I was hurting and, you know, just in my stomach. And we didn't know what was going on, so I went to the emergency room, and they told me that, you know, I was taking a pancreas attack. You know, I'd never had a pancreas issue before, so, like I said, went to the emergency room to find out what was going on. This was the day before we leave to go to the race. And, you know, they told me just keep plenty of fluids down me, you know, eat real bland food. So, la-da-da-da-da. So, I said, okay. You know, they was wanting to admit me into the emergency, into the hospital, and I wouldn't let them do that. So, I let them know that I had to go to Los Angeles. So, they told me, you know, if I just, you know, kept plenty of fluids down me to bland out in a couple, 2 or 3 days, I should be back to my old self. Well, I go on to Los Angeles and, you know, sitting in the motel room and just kind of just wasn't getting much better, you know. So I asked production if I could see their doctor. And, of course, you know, he done some blood work on me and done another exam and just came back that my pancreas enzymes was still kind of higher than what he would like to see. And he just told me that I wasn't in any condition to take off in the race around the world. So, but if he would have just said yes, go, I would have went.
Oh my God. Do you feel like that any of it was caused by, were you like very nervous to go back or anything like that? Because, you know, sometimes like stress can be a big factor in, you know, any sort of like medical problems that you might have.
You know, you hit it right on the nail head, you know. I had a lot of, because I was curious myself what had happened, see, because like I said, I had never had a pancreas issue in my life. And, I had a lot of stress on me about leaving home, you know, especially financially. You know, it was Christmas time, and I just had a lot of stress on me at the time. And two other things that I was doing out of the normal of my routine, you know, I was, of course, I'm a smoker, and I was trying to quit smoking. And I'm not going to say the word, but I was chewing a lot of the gum that you can chew to, you know, help quit smoking. And actually, I was chewing too much of it, you know, and just kind of more, it's bad to say, but I was kind of overdosing on the chewing gum.
Oh, no.
And I'd been drinking a lot of brewed tea. You know, and you notice if you take a glass of tea and let it settle, you get a lot of sediments in the bottom of the glass. But there were several factors come in. You know, when it come down to it, my cholesterol was out of whack. Like I said, I was real nervous. You know, I had a lot of stress on me. So I think it was a number of things that just come into factor all at once and just really hit me hard.
Bopper, this was like a perfect storm.
It was a perfect, I mean, you're exactly right, brother. It was a perfect storm. You know, I just kept, you know, it started out at first about a month before coming to the race. You know, I had a little back issue. Well, that had me worried. So I got over the back issue. Then I had a tooth problem. So I get over the tooth problem. Then I kind of get an inner ear infection. So it was like one thing after another. It was just like something was telling me, you know, the stars are not lined up, dude, for you to go and do this race. So I beat those three things, and you know, was pumped, was ready to go. Like I said, you know, I was worried about leaving, you know, Christmas time and stuff. And then the day before we leave, I take a pancreas attack. You know, so it just wasn't meant to be, man. You know, I don't know anybody else to explain it, but like you said, it was the perfect storm. You know, that was a good way of putting it.
All right. So now, once they tell you, okay, you can't go, but you know, we're still open to having Mark compete in the race. Did you have any choice, or did Mark have any choice in who his partner would be, or was it sort of like, okay, we've got Mallory on standby. If you want to be in the race, this is it. Or did he have some choice in who his partner was going to be?
Well, I don't think he even had a choice. You know, they knew they knew we're proud Kentucky. And we actually, when we found out that they was going to do Mark an alternate, we asked them if they would tell us who it was. And, of course, they didn't want to let us know who it was at the time. So, you know, but I kept telling Mark, I said, you know, I said they have to replace me with somebody from Kentucky. And, we sat in the room and talked about it. And I told Mark, I took a pretty good guess at it. I told Mark, I said, I believe they're going to put you with Mallory. And, you know, he said, what makes you believe that? I said, well, I said, think about it. I said, there's been like only four or five teams from Kentucky to ever run the race. I said, you know, and of course, I stay in contact with Mallory and her dad a whole lot. And I know Gary had been having some back issues. And Mallory's just the perfect, she's a lot like me. You know, she's got the spunk in her. You know, she's real high energy. She's real friendly. So, you know, I sat and thought, I said, the only one that could possibly fill my shoes is Mallory Irvin. And, you know, of course, it come out to be it was Mallory Irvin.
Wow, that was one hell of a prediction, Bopper.
I am going to say one thing that they probably come out and say, but Phil did come to me and ask, and ask me after, you know, after it was done, you know, when he found out that it was Mallory, you know, he asked me how I felt about that. You know, I told him, I said, dude, I knew it was going to be Mallory from the get-go. He said, but like you said, that was one hell of a guess.
All All right. So now, did you have any time to work out with Mark? If Mark and Mallory win the race, they win the $1 million. Do you get a cut? Are you, do you get 20%, 25%? Did they, you work this out with Mark?
No. When I stepped out of the race, you know, I stepped out of everything.
Oh, bopper.
So when I stepped out of the race, you know, it was over to, you know, CBS was kind enough, you know, to, you know, they sent me back home with a little pocket money to get back home.
Oh, that's
so,
good.
But as far as the winnings go, you know, with, you know, I really hope they go on and win it. And, cause Mark could definitely use it, you know, he's in financial situation right now. And, but no, when I stepped out for good. You know, so that's how that goes.
Well, Bopper, doesn't part of you, though, root that they don't win the race? Because if Mark wins the race with Mallory and he didn't win it with you, doesn't that mean that you're the problem? You were holding Mark back?
No, you know, I've got no regrets whatsoever. You know, Mark knows, you know, me and him have been friends, you know, so long that, you know, if they go on and win the race, it's not because it's because they put two good people together, you know. But I know me and Mark could have really went back and really ruled this time on the race, you know, because we had our heads on right. You know, we learned from the things that we did the last time wrong. We knew that we were going to do right this time. So, no, any which way it goes, you know, win or lose, you know, whatever. Like I said, that's just the way it goes out to be, and me or Mark, either one has any regrets.
All right, give me a scouting report on Mark. Tell me, what were the things that you were bringing to the table that Mark might struggle with without you on Amazing Race All-Stars?
Well, you know, of course, everybody knows I'm high energy. Mark, you know, Mark is kind of really laid back, and, you know, we're just completely opposite. But, you know, they say opposite attract, you know. So, you know, as far as for me, you know, me and Mark, we're always able to run things by each other, and to, you know, me and Mark don't get along exactly, you know, we're actually like husband and wife, you know, but we always really respected each other, and we would do our differences off camera, you know. So when we would get into a motel room, you know, that's when we would let our feelings out toward each other and talk about what we're going to do the next day. So, you know, as far as what I brought to the table, you know, the fact of how bad I needed to win that money was, you know, was a lot of drive in me. And, you know, so that's, you know, that's me. You know, if I'm dedicated to something, I want to do it, you know, 150% to my, you know, potential. And he knows that. So, you know, both of us bring an equal share to the table.
Now, one of the things that was very funny with you guys in the first season you were on was how every time you went in a car, Mark would get motion sickness and throw up. Now, I didn't notice him throwing up at all last night. Is Mark over the motion sickness?
Did you notice that Mark was behind the steering wheel?
Oh, if he drives, then he doesn't throw up?
Right. You know, that was our issue. See, when me and Mark went into the first race, you know, that's one thing about the race. You cannot plan it, because you can't prepare for it. You can't plan for it, because you do not know what you are going to be doing. So when we got took off, you know, of course, I was driving at first. Found out real quick that Mark was very, you know, he didn't even realize he was that motion sickness. So anytime Mark is in the back seat, you better have a bark bag around waiting for Mark. As long as he's behind that steering wheel, he's fine.
Well, why didn't you let him drive?
Well, when we took off, we didn't realize. Eventually, I did have to stop and let him drive. But when we first took off, see, I was going to say, I can drive anything. That was our plan that we did plan. You know, I would be the driver. Mark would be the navigator. Mark is a human calculator with numbers. And as far as navigating with the mouth and stuff, you put me behind the steering wheel of anything, I'm gonna give Jeff Gordon all he needs. So, you know, so I, like I said, that's the way we went into it. I was going to be the driver, Mark was going to be the navigator, and that was our plan. You know, so our plans changed real fast.
And then last night, there was a bit of turmoil for Mark and Mallory. They finished up in sixth place, which was, you know, right in the middle of the pack, right where you want to be on the first leg. But they had a bit of a fight in the bubble where Mallory was saying, hey, I don't know if this is the right thing. And Mark is like, what are you talking about? This is definitely the right thing. Did you see any cracks in the Mark and Mallory pairing that might end up being bigger problems down the road?
I gotta say, yeah, because, you know, Mark, me and Mark has known Gary and Mallory somewhat. You know, we've been in touch with each other, like I said, a little bit, and we somewhat know each other, but we don't know each other on the level that me and Mark know each other. So, you know, they both got their doubts about each other. One don't really exactly know what the other's capable of and what they're not capable of. So there's definitely a big trust factor there between the two of them. And I really seen that last night, you know, with, I just hope that Mallory does, you know, put her confidence, you know, they need, both of them have their confidence in each other. But Mark, I gotta say, he is very smart, with numbers, navigating, you know, he can look at a map and he can look at his surroundings, and I'm sure Mallory can do the same thing. But yeah, they're going to have to really get to know each other a lot better, real fast, and really depending on what each other says and just their pure gut feeling.
All right, well, Bopper, thanks so much for coming on. Happy to hear that you're feeling better. How is your daughter doing?
Brother, she's doing good. You know, that was something I left out. Actually, the morning that I tried to put the Pankers tack on top of that, my little girl was going into surgery the day that we was flying to Los Angeles. So I had to leave her at the Shriners Hospital with her mother, you know, her getting ready to go in surgery, me not knowing what was going on. And I just had a lot of stress,
yeah,
worry, and, you know, and that was a lot. That was one of the main things that the doctor asked me. We started going over my complete history, you know, and stuff. You know, he's like, well, how much do you drink? I was like, you know, I drink a beer time to time, you know. So he's like, well, that seems not to be the factor here. He said, let's talk about what's on your mind and what, you know, he said, because that has a lot to play in a lot of other stuff. So, of course, I had my little girl. Well, she's doing great now. But she was, like I said, I had to leave her at Shriners Hospital that morning, going into surgery, me having to get on an airplane, not knowing what was going on with my kid. Mm-hmm. And because when you get on that airplane, you know, you are completely out of touch with family, friends, whatsoever. You don't, you know, I mean, period.
Right.
You don't get to talk to them. You don't get to communicate with them. So, like you said, the perfect storm hit me, brother.
Well, Bopper, happy to hear everything is going good. I know you got to run. So thanks so much for coming on with us, and all the best to you, Bopper.
Appreciate you, brother. You have a good day, man.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Bopper. Very sad to see Bopper go out. I was always a big Bopper supporter from Amazing Race 20. I thought he was really good, and bummed out to see him back, but at least we have Mark. But we don't have the Twinnies anymore. So it was a tough blow last night because I liked all three of the people that we lost last night, including these two, my next guests here on the line. We have the Twinnies. It's Natalie and Nadia Anderson are joining us. Twinnies, are you there?
Hi, Rob. How are you?
What the hell happened?
Oh, my God. Do we have to tell you how much of a mess we were? We were just really unlucky, actually. Honestly, it was just, like, such a surprise that we even, you know, got to the point where we were realizing that we might be eliminated. And it was just a really unfamiliar feeling being in the back of the pack and having that, oh, my God, we might be eliminated, and then letting it take hold of us and not being, you know, just productive enough to change our fate.
This was very sad for me because I was very excited to see you guys come back. I thought it was going to be so much fun, and I can't believe that we're sitting here after one episode and I'm not going to have any Twinnies to watch this season.
This is Natalie. I know the leg was just not made for Nadia and I. You know, we were looking forward to some intense challenges, getting the weak teams tired, getting them physically not able to do something or fucking up on a challenge that Nadia and I would have killed, but we didn't get anything. And it was just a really linear race. And it all depended on the order you found your clue in, which we obviously could not fucking find. Hold on.
Let me ask you guys a question. So did you guys, were you guys trying too hard on leg number one? Because I kind of feel like you guys came out and were just trying to blow everybody away in the first leg. And then it ended up being a problem because it started unraveling.
Yeah, I mean, me and Nadia, and this is Nadia. Nadia and I are always, you know, gunning for first. We're always aiming for number one. Like, we're never like, you know, we were disappointed with fourth place last season. You know, I think we came in with so much, like, feeling like we had so much to prove. Yeah, we came in gunning for number one, and then we ended up screwing ourselves. Things seemed like they were going fine. We got on the first flight, you know, and it just sucks that finding a clue basically sealed our fate for that leg and then for the whole race. It was just crazy to us that, you know, we couldn't get a clue. And it's not like we failed at a challenge, you know, or we got stuck at a challenge. We just could not find this clue to save our lives.
Now tell me, are either of you guys going to follow through and move to Sri Lanka? Because that's what you said during the episode, that if you guys got out, you're moving back to Sri Lanka.
And never coming back. Yeah, I know. Maybe they're not never coming back. We're actually planning on moving to Sri Lanka at the end of the summer and starting a CrossFit. So we're keeping partially true. We are going back to Sri Lanka. Not never coming back, but we are going to Sri Lanka.
Oh, no. Now, how upset were you guys when you found out that right after you stopped working with the Afghanimals, that they then found the clue?
It was just really, we had no idea that happened, you know, until later. We have been with the Afghanimals for hours all morning, you know, and obviously with our luck, we couldn't get anything done with these guys. They're nice guys, but I think their personalities are so much like us. They're crazy and out of control. And the four of us just combusted, and we just could not get it together. As soon as we left, that sucks that they found the clue. We probably should have stayed with them, but at that point, me and Nadia felt that we had exhausted all our resources with them and we needed to mix it up. That's why we broke off from them. But, you know, it sucked.
And you guys were right there at one point with the Afghanimals. And then they said, I think Leo said, oh, it's right in here. And you guys talked them out of it.
This is Natalie. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've gone to every store a million times, but all these damn Chinese stores are looking the same. Plus, like, the regular stores where the fucking way it wasn't the right clue. The Asian, like, ladies were being so rude and being like, get out, get out. So, you know, we felt like everything started blurring into one hot Chinese mess. And then, you know, none of us are listening to each other. I'm sure at one point I said something like, let's go down this aisle, but nobody wanted to listen to me. So we each were just being really destructive to the group. Instead of working together and being efficient, we were just becoming worse and worse. Obviously, their luck changed, and then we ended up got screwed.
I want to know, how do you guys feel about your edit from the episode last night?
The edit. I feel like our first leg was just so much material to put in. And, you know, with 11 teams racing and also the Mark and Bopper situation and the team switch, I feel like they did it was a good job with what the space they had. I mean, there's so much story to tell with 11 teams. But, you know, viewers got a pretty good idea of the way the time was going. I mean, it looked like me and I were coursing at the start. We got on the first leg. I feel like the only thing that didn't show was how long me and Adi were looking for this, for the clues. And, you know, after that, once you got the clue, that was the order of the clue was basically, you know, basically order in the race, unless you messed up on the bubble. But me and Adi already obviously messed up on the bubble, but it wouldn't have mattered because we were anyway the last team. So it wouldn't have made a big difference.
Now, you guys were in a pretty big fight last night and arguing with each other, especially when you were waiting for the bubble. On a scale of 1 to 10, was that above average for a fight that you guys might get into, or was that sort of a mild fight that you guys would get into?
This is Natalie. That's like a 4. I would say that would be a 4. Once it's over a 5 and a 6, 7, that's when we start, like, physically fighting. And 10 is, like, you know, when we're, like, in a wrestling match, like, fighting, like, trying to really knock the person out. Me and Nani, we are really, you know, we're really close, and sometimes having so, like, very, you know, having no boundaries with each other can work against us because we start arguing, but then we don't realize that how much energy and time we're putting into something worthless instead of figuring out how to change our luck or how to change the situation. But it wasn't a big fight for me and Adi. You know, once we were at the check-in, we were not happy with our performance, but we were all back to being friends. And, you know, I understand viewers think it's like it makes viewers kind of uncomfortable when we fight, but it's just part of our relationship.
Okay. Now, how close was it between you guys and Team YouTube? Because on the show, I thought they were going to make it look like it was a foot race down to the end. But then they showed, you know, Megan and Joey getting to the mat, and you guys were still doing the loop-the-loops in the air. So do you know how far behind Megan and Joey you were?
It was probably like, you know, 15 to 20 minutes. But no way we could make up the time because, you know, unless Joey got stuck on the top of the spinning thing and couldn't get down and had like some issue, but nobody had an issue on the challenge. You know, it was very cut and dry. You just went up there and did five spins and you were onto the pit stop. So, I mean, we saw Joey and Megan when we got to the challenge, but they were gone by the time Natalie went up, they were gone. So we knew there was no way, we were catching up. We knew we were last place. It wouldn't have made a difference what we did.
Now, was there any team that from this season that you were really looking forward to racing against in the All-Stars?
Yeah, there are a lot of the teams are really cool that we would have liked to race with. This is Nadia. The Globes are somebody that we really, you know, we got such a good vibe from them, watching them. We really liked Mallory's vibe. I remember watching her, and she went to India. That season, that leg she won in India, she loved it. So, you know, we assumed that we'd click well with her, as well as Team YouTube is, you know, they're very fun and lighthearted, and Jessica and John just being the underdogs. But, I mean, we didn't get to race with any of them. But those, off the top of our heads, we were excited to race with those guys.
Were there any teams that you're excited that you didn't have to go and spend a lot of time with?
This is Natalie. I can't think of any teams. You know, Nadi and I don't have any other, we have no past relationships with these guys because everybody was new, so you kind of want to give everybody a fresh plate. Some of the teams seemed a little bit, you know, on the boring side, but, you know, at the end of the day, we had no, like, prior experience with anybody, so we were just looking forward to racing, regardless of if they would be annoying or fun or, you know, whatever.
Why? Who was boring? All these teams are exciting.
Hold on. I wouldn't say boring, but I guess, like, for me and Natalie, what makes a good racer for us is kind of being able to do your own thing. And, you know, for me and Natalie, when we talk about being strong and being proud as girls, you know, we want to be able to do our own thing and not rely on people. So I think annoying teams or boring teams are teams that rely on other teams for help. I think that's really, you know, it just is lame to me that you would have to, you'd on an the amazing race where you're supposed to be doing amazing things and instead you're kind of just like hoping for people to bring you along. That's kind of stupid in our eyes.
You don't like the floaters.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like floaters and, like, you know, I want people that are badass. If I'm competing, I want to be competing against badass teams so then we can come out, you know, also on top. Yeah. This is Natalie. You know, like on Twitter, when people call me annoying or anything, I would never get offended or ever get hurt. But if somebody said, oh, yeah, Natalie and I can't do anything on their own, they just rely on the people, then I'd get offended and I'd be like, hey, wait a minute, I do. So I don't really care if teams get, like, you know, get branded as annoying. You know, some of the best teams that I love have been called annoying and being called mean and, like, all these other things. I don't think anything is offensive if you're a racer. The only thing that you should take offense to as a racer is somebody's, like, they can't do anything for themselves. They basically rely on everybody else to get the shit done for them.
Okay. Now, how bad was the wedgie, for real? Was it the world's biggest wedgie?
You know, honestly, yeah, it was. I mean, I don't know if you saw those stupid small hooks that came out of the side. Like, I was, first of all, worrying if they could even hold my weight up there. And on top of that, it's just like, I'm wearing pants. I've been wearing them all day, so sweaty. Then you put this harness on, and then all your weight is hanging from the harness, which is like this skinny, flimsy little thing. It was not comfortable. Something to get my mind off losing, I guess.
How did you guys decide who was going to go up into the harness?
This is Natalie. Well, Nadia's kind of like uncomfortable with some heights, but I wasn't going to make a decision because I was making decisions for us, and then I was getting yelled at. So that's why I told Nadia, I was like, make a decision because I'm tired of making decisions and then you get mad at me. So I was like, Nadia, decide. And then she's like, okay, you do it.
Yeah, this is
Nadia. Yeah, it was ironic that she screamed at me and told me that she was tired of me yelling at her, but yet she was literally screaming at the top of her voice at me for screaming at her. And we were actually going to do rock, paper, scissors to decide who would go up there because we were both like truly fed up with each other's decisions. So we were going to rock, paper, scissors to shoot to see who would do it. But then I was like, forget it, just do it. We're going to get eliminated anyway.
Yeah, that's the right attitude to have.
I was kind of wish I said Nadia up there and then she would have got scared and then fucked up and then we would have been like just 3 hours later and made Phil stand in the dark for us.
Now, at the time you guys went out of the race, so there's 10 teams left. Who are your best friends out of the 10 teams that are still left in the race?
After, you mean after filming and everything?
No, before. At this point in the game, who do you like the best?
At this time, honestly, the only people we had any kind of interaction with was Jamal and Leo. Honestly, Dave and Connor on the plane ride were really cool. Dave was like, I mean, which one's the dad? we didn't race with any of them for long, so you know we don't even. But on the flight, the dad from Dave and Connor was like, you know, he kind of was like, pretend that I'm your dad. Don't do anything to me. You won't do it to your dad because trying to get like the sympathy card. And you know, at that time, me and Nadia, we were like, whatever. We don't have to worry about them. He, father and son team never win. Like he's old. Who cares? But we were being very accommodating because we didn't think of us. You know, we were thinking we were going to get the express pass, and we were like, they're just trying to butter us up for the express pass. But at that point, it was only Dave and Connor and Jamal and Leo that we had really had any kind of real interactions with.
Did you guys do anything different to get ready for the race the second time than you did the first time?
This is Natalie. No, just really, you know, working out, hitting. We started CrossFit for our first amazing race, and it really proved to come in handy because our season 21 was a very physically demanding season. So we just basically physically got ready and bought a lot of pink clothes. That's what we did.
So sad to see you guys out of the race here at this point. I hope that there's a third time for you guys. Would you guys come back and do the race a third time if they had you?
You know, I think Amazing Race is like, you know, it's a like bittersweet S&M relationship. Like we always walk away so upset that we didn't win and so hurt that we almost won. But I think for sure the chances are we would come back.
I think you guys need to come back. I think you guys have unfinished business.
I totally agree. We have complete. I think they should bring back all the teams that have gone out on the first episode for a, you know, redo season with all the first-time losers. At least then we'll be the best out of the losers.
Yeah, and you know what I hear? If you do bad your second time when they bring you back, that doesn't count. Only the first time counts.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have the first time out, first time ever stigma.
Yeah. All right, guys. Natalie and Nadia, how do we follow you guys on Twitter?
It's Natalie, E-A-N-D, and Nadia, A-A-N-D.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll post a link too because I don't know if people are going to be able to figure that out from how we're spelling it. But thanks so much, guys. I hope to hear more from you guys in the future.
Thank you, Rob.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Natalie and Nadia. The Twinnies are out on the Amazing Race. Would love to get the Twinnies in a more regular fashion on the podcast talking about Amazing Race because they're always fun to hear from. Very polarizing, though. Some people, I'm sure, are happy they're out, but I am not one of them. I have always been a Twinnies supporter. Anyway, so that's going to do it for the Amazing Race exit interviews, but we still have a lot more Amazing Race coverage on Tuesday night when we talk with Joe and Bill, Team Guido, from the Amazing Race 1 and the first Amazing Race All-Stars, the OG Amazing Race All-Stars. And this isn't even it for exit interviews, because we've got a double exit interview for Survivor coming up on Thursday when the Survivor 2-hour Survivor Cagayan premiere kicks off on Wednesday night. And then, of course, we'll have Survivor Know-It-Alls for you guys live 15 minutes after the show ends at 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. So hope everybody is locked in here. I'm very excited about this season of The Amazing Race. If you could, if you'd be interested to do so, we really could use some more of your feedback and comments and star ratings on iTunes. So if you want to either give us some feedback on our main feed on iTunes or on the Amazing Race only feed at robhasawebsite.com/TAR podcast. We really appreciate those because they help other people find us on iTunes. So thank you guys so much. I'm really looking forward to everything coming up this season. Hope to hear from you guys in the comments on robhasawebsite.com, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.